Good Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in to Local Matters on KTLO. This is Heather Loftus, and I'm glad to have with us in the studio this morning some fine folks from Baxter Regional Medical Center. We have two of the paramedic folks, Michelle Lewis and Sarah Pinkston. Welcome.
Thank you.
So tell me, what's going on with you guys? You got a big special week coming up.
We do. May 19th through the 25th is National EMS Week, so Emergency Medical Services. Baxter Regional will be celebrating all of our EMS folk. That includes dispatch, ambulance, and community paramedic. Dispatch is the person that you call that takes down your information when we ask about your address, so what's your emergency, and then, of course, the ambulance division that responds, and then community paramedic, that's that continuity of care that for the
They kind of bridge the gap between the people out in the public that maybe can't get home health or something like that. They'll go out and see them and kind of educate the community on things that they need help on.
Now, you guys are both paramedics, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So, and are you part of the ambulance team when you go out and see people?
We are. Sarah is also, not only is she a paramedic, she's also a nurse. She has bridged over.
Mm-hmm. Saw the big RN tag over there. That's why I want to make sure.
So her patients actually get kind of a dual assessment. When we, as a paramedic, when you walk in on a scene, you look at your patient, you do an immediate assessment. What are the major life threats? What's going on with this patient? And we go from there.
Yeah, and then nurse brain kind of kicks in a little bit, and then you kind of think about the long-term type stuff that you're going to need to maybe implement or tweak just a little bit that'll help them down the road. So, it's good to have both, but emergency medicine is definitely fun.
A lot of things we're going to talk about this morning, a lot of good information to have with you. First off, though, I want to make sure everyone caught that, what Michelle said. Next week is EMS week. They're going to have a stroke awareness event Tuesday. That's this Tuesday from 11 to 1 at Walmart. It's going to be not necessarily in the parking lot. It's going to be kind of in between the two main entrances of Walmart. Is that fair to say? Kind of on the paved part?
It's to the right of McDonald's.
To the right of McDonald's.
Yes.
Okay, there
you
go.
When you're looking at it, it's going to be on the right of McDonald's.
You won't miss it because I believe there's going to be an ambulance set up right there, right?
Correct. We'll have an ambulance, and then we'll have a table for AeroVac and Survival Flight.
Mm-hmm. And KTLO will be out there broadcasting live with the treasure chest as well. So you cannot miss us. We'll be out there Tuesday. Come join us again, 11 to 1. You can check out... Is it going to be the new ambulance that's going to be out there?
It is. It's going to be ambulance 3.
It is. It's going to be our new updated ambulance that we just got back recently. And then it's going to have the new stroke technology, and it's going to have a camera in it that will let us
telemedicine
or telecast with a physician at UAMS, most likely, to determine if the patient is having a stroke and if we need to start doing certain things to the patient so they can get care the quickest.
That is so cool. There's so many cool things that you just talked about. So we want to break that down and talk about it. Chris Fry was here on Local Matters last year when you guys were fundraising so that you could purchase these new ambulances. And you got this new one in. It's the stroke ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where's that located? Is it at a main? Does it stay at the hospital and then go out when needed?
Or it does. Yeah, it's going to be at the hospital base, and it will go out and it'll serve all the community, Baxter, mm-hmm. Marion County, depending on where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's over in Marion County when the call comes out, then that's where it'll go. But it'll mainly serve the biggest population around, so it'll stay in Mountain Home.
And we all know time is absolutely of the essence when it comes to a stroke patient. Tell us what this ambulance will be able to perform, what the paramedics that are in this ambulance will be able to perform for a patient suffering from a stroke that they weren't able to do in the past.
So what it'll be able to do is you have an assessment that you have to go by for the Arkansas SAVES program, and it breaks down, it's broken down into like their speech, their movement, and stuff like that, so they can determine if they're having a stroke, and then if they need TPA, which is that clot-busting drug. So what this ambulance is going to be able to do is we're going to be able to talk with physicians, and we're going to be able to give that assessment in front of the physician sooner, so then potentially when we get to the hospital, they can immediately go for a CT, and then as soon as they get out of CT, they can immediately get that medicine if it's appropriate, versus before they would go to CT and then go to an ER room, and then the assessment will be done. So essentially we're cutting out a big time gap because we can do that during transport.
And you can't administer the drug until after the CT is performed.
Correct, yes.
So this will, I mean, you're saving. How much time are you able to save now? Have you been able to break it down?
I think they're looking at maybe 20, 20 to 30 minutes. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal here in Mountain Home if you're 5 minutes away from the hospital. But when you're out in Buford, when you're out in Norfolk, Clark Ridge, some of these areas that are on dirt roads, it takes us 20 minutes to get there, and that's going emergent. That's 20 minutes that we've lost coming back for that kind of an assessment. So we can actually do it in their driveway if we're concerned about getting any kind of reception. We can do it on the road coming in. And then after we hang up, then that UAMS physician then calls our ER and has a consult with the physician that will take that patient. So they are ready to go the minute we walk in that door with that patient.
Have you seen this in person? Have you seen this happen in person with how it's the UAMS physician is on the TV and how they interact with a patient?
I've seen it done in the ER room several times. And it's very interesting to watch, and they go through the assessment, and I think that it's truly going to cut down a lot of time to be able to do it in the truck, and I don't see why there would be any problem for any of the paramedics to be able to handle it, and it definitely shorten that time to get patients the treatment they need quicker.
And, of course, being a rural area, being a rural community hospital, I mean, this is of the essence for us.
Yes.
And the age demographic of this area as well. I mean, we're a retirement community. We skew a little older, and so we're more prone. Is this part of Arkansas considered part of the stroke belt? I've always heard that phrase where, you know, you get deeper into the south, the more the stroke belt you're in.
Yes, Arkansas is definitely in that stroke belt.
I think what had happened was a couple of years ago they decided, since Arkansas was number one for, I think it's death from stroke or stroke-related complications, this group got together. I think it was spearheaded by UAMS and decided we need to change how this – we need to change these outcomes. Mm-hmm. There's a huge cost on the back end for rehabbing a patient. Some of them are not able to rehab, so now you've got loss of productivity. There's just a lot of issues that come down that road, and then also care for them, medical care. So they got together. They every patient that we think is a stroke patient actually gets a band, a blue band, and they track that, and then they track the outcomes. And because they're able to track the outcomes – they're able to come up with more innovative ways to try and address some of these issues sooner. So that is a direct result, I think, this program of tracking and then changing the outcomes.
How long have you been tracking it?
I believe that it started last year. We started putting the stroke bands on, and then they started compiling everything, and then they're throwing out this new data. But it takes a little bit to get the data in to run reports and stuff. So I believe they started it last year.
Any light bulb moments yet from the data that you've received?
Not yet.
Still too early.
Yeah.
I think the big thing that I've noticed in with this area has been age. So I always think of a stroke patient as being above 60, maybe 70, something like that. And I've actually seen stroke patients as young as 35, something in that area. And that's absolutely shocking to me. And so it's kind of changed up my perspective. When I look at a patient, evaluate them, could they be having a stroke?
Well, I mean, I think we all had a wake-up call when it comes to stroke when, especially for my demographic, my age group, when Luke Perry died of a stroke.
Yes.
I mean, we all grew up on 90210. I mean, he's basically our age. And how on earth can someone of that age that showed no outwardly visible signs or, you know, risk factors that you would think of, you know, what? Why are we seeing strokes happen younger and younger now?
I don't know that we've been able to identify that, but we can look into that and get back to you.
I mean, it's, and the risk factors. I mean, let's talk about the risk factors for stroke. We always talk about obesity and smoking and high blood pressure. What else am I missing?
Sometimes genetics can just play a role in it. If you have family members that have high cholesterol and it's just in your genes to have high cholesterol, some people just automatically have that. And maybe you don't know that and you're not put on the correct medications to help with that and kind of prevent it, then that could be a risk factor as well if you're not aware of that gene that you might carry.
Yep. We're all familiar with the heart test that the hospital is doing now, the calcium screening. And so, you know, a lot of people have taken that opportunity and had that test. What are the tests that we need to think of in terms of judging our risk for a stroke?
I think the biggest one is to follow up with your doctor on a yearly basis and know what your blood pressure numbers are. Know your family history as far as a risk.
Cholesterol.
Yeah. And then if you have high blood pressure, take your medicine. And if it doesn't if it doesn't stay down, then you need to go back to your doctor. It's not a one pill fits all. They try a pill that they think is going to work, mm-hmm. and it may not, and you need to keep going back. But it's not something you can afford to ignore. You have to address it immediately and stay on that medicine. A lot of times people go off of it because they forgot to refill their script mm-hmm. or the medicine is too expensive. And mm-hmm. so there's other ways to address that, but they have to – it's like a diabetic you mm-hmm. and it's on insulin. Like you can't just go off your insulin. You have to stay on top of that.
Yeah,
I've heard people who take blood pressure medicine say, oh, I forgot to take my blood pressure medicine. I can really feel it today. For someone who has never taken blood pressure medicine, what are those symptoms? What does it feel like if your blood pressure is too high?
Some people will experience blurred vision, headache. They'll have some tingling in their extremities and stuff like that. And most of the time, that's when their blood pressure starts to get extremely elevated. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing that most people experience first off is a headache, and sometimes they'll feel a little washed out and that type of thing. Another thing to mention, too, is patients that have AFib. And if they don't take their blood thinners with AFib, that puts them at an extremely high risk for a stroke as well, that I think they kind of get left out some of the time, that they need to remember to also take their blood thinners and get monitored and that type of thing to reduce their risk.
All good information. Let's take a break. You're listening to Local Matters on KTLO. Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. We're visiting once again with Sarah Pinkston and Michelle Lewis of Baxter Regional Medical Center. EMS Week is starting on Monday, and of course, we will be out front at Walmart on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday from 11 to 1, to the right of McDonald's. So if you're standing in the parking lot at Walmart wondering where on earth we're going to be, just think we're to the right of McDonald's. I don't think you'll be able to miss us, though. Just look for the giant Baxter Regional Medical Center ambulance, and we'll be there. KTLO will be broadcasting live, and of course, we'll have the treasure chest available. Ladies, you know, we talk about the importance of if you think you're having symptoms of a stroke, you know, you have to act fast. But we've all been taught that, you know, oh, I'm not sure what's going on. Let me just wait and see how I feel tomorrow. You know, maybe I can sleep this off. There's a fine line in healthcare of rushing to the doctor or seeing if I'm going to feel better tomorrow. But when it comes to stroke, you cannot mess around.
Correct. Time is brain cells. Those brain cells are losing oxygen and they're dying. Mm-hmm. And a delay can be the difference. I think we've heard between remembering your grandchild's name or not. Mm-hmm. So time is critical. So part of it is we use an acronym in EMS called BFAST. So we look at when we assess a patient about their balance mm-hmm. and their eyes. Do they have any vision problems? Are they moving around a little bit? We look at their face. Does it look uneven? Is there one side that's drooping? Mm-hmm. We look at their arms. Is there one side that's more like paralyzed or is it not moving real well? And then their speech. Are they not making sense? Is it garbled? That kind of a thing.
Yeah, one of the big things that we'll ask people to tell us or repeat back to us is the early bird catches the worm. And we'll try to see if they can say that back to us and not slur it in any way. And that's a good one to kind of – it hits every, synonym or
– Mouth movement
right. that they need to make to get that sentence out.
So that's really important, I think, is if anyone has any of those symptoms, even one of them, it doesn't have to be all of them. It can be just one of them. To call 911 and say, hey, I think I'm having a stroke. I think my mom's having a stroke. I think my husband or my grandparent, mm-hmm. whoever you're with, it's important to say this is not right and to call 911. Again, time matters. We've had people that have waited a day or two to see if it'll resolve. Those are usually unhappy endings because they've waited mm-hmm. too long for any kind of treatment.
Yeah. Essentially, most people have about a 3-hour window from the time that they start experiencing a stroke to the time that we can really do anything for them. Mm-hmm. that three-hour window includes the time to get them that clot-busting medicine to potentially reverse the effects of the stroke. So if you call within any of that amount of time, we can get there and start prepping you and getting everything done to hopefully get you the treatment that you need as quickly as we can so you have a better outcome.
And it is so beneficial. You need to call 911. You need to get an ambulance out there, regardless if they decide to get on the ambulance or not. I mean, you guys need to be able to go out there and evaluate them. You're not, if you think someone's having a stroke, you're not saving anyone anything by driving them to the ER yourself. I mean, it's costing you more.
Potentially, yeah, especially with our new stroke ambulance, because we can do that assessment en route. Whereas if you were driving yourself in, you couldn't have that done, and we could be saving time by that. But the other thing to remember too is if you start experiencing any of these symptoms, you can call and we can come out and assess you and see what's wrong and see if we think that you're heading in that direction. And it's better to be safe than sorry, and just let us see. And there's no cost if you just have us come out and check you out, and then it comes to decide that you don't really need an ambulance or need to go to the hospital.
Sarah, I think you need to repeat that phrase. I think that's a very important thing that people don't understand. If you think you might be having symptoms of a stroke, but the paramedics come out there and evaluate you and they determine not necessarily we do not think this is a stroke, you're not charged for that visit. You do not have to get on the ambulance. You are not charged.
Nope. At that point, we'll just have you sign a piece of paper saying that you don't want to go to the hospital, that we have assessed you, and that you agree to not go with us, and you don't receive a bill for that at all. We do have paperwork that we have to do that because we did come out and do an assessment, but other than that, you won't get a bill for it. And, I mean, you might have a better peace of mind knowing that nothing's going on.
I would imagine, though, if paramedics are called somewhere because they're afraid someone might be having a stroke, that is usually happening, though.
Yeah, most of the time it is. Most of the time there's something that's really pointing out to them, because most of the time people don't call until it's too late. And I hate to say that, but it's true. And if you start noticing the smallest thing, we would rather you just call and us know that we're doing whatever we can. And it's even better if you start noticing a small thing, and it might slowly be starting and progressing. And we might come out and there might just be some slurred speech, and then by the time we get to the hospital, there might be facial droop and arm drift and all this other stuff going on.
So instead of picking up our phone to Google what's going on, you would prefer that we call you?
Yes, preferably.
Yes,
yeah.
Well, and tell me, forgive me for my Googling patterns and not knowing, but you hear of people experiencing minor TIAs, they had a minor stroke. I'm like, what does that mean? What's the difference there?
So a TIA normally resolves within 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I would say the patients that we see, they normally resolve within the first 1 to 2 hours if it's a short TIA. Mm-hmm. And some people call them mini strokes. If I go out and assess a patient, I'll ask them if they've had a TIA. If they can't answer that, I'll ask them, well, have you ever been told you have a mini stroke? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's yes. One of the things to remember, though, is if you've ever had a TIA or a mini stroke, the chances of you having a stroke within a year of that is very, very high.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always important to pay attention to those symptoms and things that might be going wrong, because you could be having one.
What if you live alone? And how are you... more often than not, it's a spouse or family member that says, something's off here. But if you live alone, are there things that you can look for that might say, hey, something's changing in my healthcare? This event might have happened.
Some people, it could be as simple as not being able to pick up a coffee cup. Or they're going to take a drink of their coffee cup and they just realize it's not right, or they can't write with a pen. And if they start noticing those changes, then, I mean, that's one thing, because you use your hands for just about everything. And that's one of the biggest things that shows. So if they start noticing anything like that, I would say go ahead and call.
So it's more of a physical thing than maybe a memory thing that you need to be on the lookout for.
Yes. Huh. Can't raise your hand to bring your coffee cup up, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Or you're thinking about it, but it doesn't. Your arms or your legs don't move right.
Yep.
You can call 911. Mm-hmm. A lot of people carry an alert system, and they just have to press a button. They don't even have to speak. So
the technology that has changed and developed within the paramedic program and on the ambulances and the ambulances themselves, I would say within, my goodness, maybe the last 5 years even. I mean, it is crazy how fast things are changing for the good of the community, for the good of the patients. And I know you guys are so excited to have this type of technology and care to be able to provide.
It is. And actually, I'm a fairly new medic. I'm within my first year, but I am older and I'm not a big brawny person. And so some of the new technology that's come out has really been a game changer for mm-hmm. an older female such as myself. Things like the cot loading system mm-hmm. and things like offsetting the positioning of the cot in the ambulance so we can access that patient on mm-hmm. both sides. Our Lucas device that we're trialing right now where mm-hmm. you're able to do CPR, it's a mechanical device that does CPR on the way in.
Yeah, it's a hands-free CPR device.
I saw a picture of it.
Yes.
I did. It is awesome. And
it is.
And when you have that –
it frees up a body.
Absolutely.
Ultimately, it truly does free up a body. You can honestly have one less person in the back to do things, and then you just need someone to maintain the airway and push medication.
And it's good. It's good care for our patients, and it's care that patients deserve. Mm-hmm. Because we live in a rural area, we have dirt roads, we have curvy roads. In a city, you might – well, and let me go back. So, and then you might have a transport of 15 minutes emergent. In a city, you might have a paved road, and it's a 3-minute drive to the hospital emergent. Mm-hmm. So just because we live in a rural area shouldn't mean that they shouldn't get that mm-hmm. same kind of care. And this Lucas device offers the care that our patients deserve. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're excited about it.
Yeah. There has been a lot of changes in the last 5 years. Yeah. I started in EMS about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And just in the amount of time that I've started, it's amazing to see how much just our service alone is changing and evolving and the new technology we're bringing out to provide the best care to our patients.
Do you know by chance, on average, how many runs the Baxter Regional Medical Center ambulance team makes each day?
Each day, I want to say we're anywhere from 40 to 60. We ran the numbers for last year, and last year we ran about 13,000 calls, so that's a little over 1,000 calls a month, which is a lot for our area. But we also ran some other numbers, and we serve a community of around 60,000 people mm-hmm. Within Baxter and Marion County, and we kind of dip into Fulton County just a little bit to cover some service mm-hmm. area. So we do cover a large population, and that's not including the summer months when we have all of these people from out of town coming to our lakes mm-hmm. and rivers.
Mm-hmm. And the ambulance bays are stationed. I know there's different, different places throughout the community. Mm-hmm. And you have several throughout Baxter. You have some in Marion. They're out close to the lake if need be. They're close to the river if need be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We have several stationed here in Mountain Home at the hospital. There's also a base on 5 South, and then we have a base in Bull Shoals and a base in Yellville.
Mm-hmm. Friendly reminder to everybody who's listening. I'm sure you know this. I know everybody knows this, but, our manners are changing over time, but you still prefer if you see an ambulance running through town, lights and sirens on, you want us to stop. You don't want us to pull over and drive slower. You want us to stop our cars.
Yeah, please pull to the right. That's the big thing is just please pull over and pull to the right. And if you can't pull to the right, then just stop and we'll maneuver the best we can around you.
Do our drivers have pretty good manners around here when you're flying through town?
There's always room for improvement.
Yes.
I was going to save you. I was like, ooh, maybe I should have asked that. There's always room for improvement. Yeah. That's what we tell our kids, right? Always room for improvement. Well, Sarah Pinkston and Michelle Lewis, I sure appreciate y'all taking time to come see us. You can meet both of them in person, hopefully next week. Come on Tuesday at Walmart. Again, we'll be out there from 11 to 1. KTLA will be broadcasting live. Look for the ambulance. We'll be to the right of McDonald's there in front of Walmart. Come out and see us. You can check out the new ambulance, all kinds of different things. AirVac will be there. Survival Flight will be there. Hospital personnel will be there. What am I missing?
I think that's it. Yeah, and we'll have the new stroke ambulance to show off, too. So...
very good. You can see how you'll be treated in there.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll see you Tuesday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Local Matters on KTLO.